the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Islamic Upbringing, where we dive deep into the essential aspects of nurturing your youth in line with Islamic teachings. In this program, our discussions are rooted in the guidance of the Holy Quran and the timeless wisdom of Hadith from our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his purified family, and the insightful narratives of our noble Imams. I'm glad to have with us today Brother Muhammad Liaqat Abbas, a research scholar from the Seminary of Qom, who possesses a wealth of knowledge in both Islamic studies as well as psychology. So, Brother Liaqat Abbas, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
One of the things that is so common in the teens is that they start comparing themselves with others, and then they feel discontent with themselves. Yes, we're going to discuss dissatisfaction and discontent in teens. And Brother Liaqat Abbas is here to help us through, and he'll tell us the solutions, what to do with these teens. And you may have seen like teens are so much unsatisfied with themselves. So be it the body image, like, because the body image concept is so much out there on social media today. It's telling you like there's this perfect, I don't know, so-called body, and they start comparing, be that on the television, be that with celebrities, or be that anywhere else. So, like, this is so common in teens. So what could be done and how to tackle this dissatisfaction?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is extremely common. Why? Because, of course, when it comes to body image, the teens are facing a lot of issue with this. Because they want the perfect image of the body, a perfect face, a perfect color, skin tone, I mean, perfect skin tone, or perfect, hair color, perfect hair, like example, perfect hair with regards to it being curly, or examples in a straightened manner, example,
yeah.
Eye color, everything. Wearing clothes, shoes, example, when it comes to ladies, like purse, and it goes ahead with like makeup, ornaments, jewelry, I don't know, nail polish and lipstick and stuff.
Yeah.
That side over here, sleeveless, shorts, I don't know, bike and everything. Yeah. So everything is mattering. Like, okay, so if I sit on this so-and-so bike, I'm going to look good. Okay, if I
it comes from elite family.
Yeah, example, I'm going to impress other people, example.
Yeah.
Okay, and how am I dressing up is very important. Unfortunately, many teens, like there are millions and millions of teens who feel insecure about their appearance, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they compare it to the social influencers, so there are social people like on TikTok, be it on Insta, be it on social media websites. So they kind of, they are hesitant in order to engage in social activities or wear certain clothes. So like when they have good clothes, the teens are like, okay, if I wear this, I might be outdated.
Yeah.
Okay? So they want new clothes to be brought, new
yeah.
things, new stuff to be brought by their parents in order to get upgraded with the going trend, example. Okay. So what's the solution example? The first thing is to get a break from the social media. This is the main thing.
Okay.
Like getting a break, which is very difficult, is very important. Why? Because this teen is addicted to social media. So everything is from there.
Yeah.
Okay? So get a break from social media. Don't go to those social influencers, those celebrities. Unfortunately, you know what? When it comes to psychology, there are many celebrities who have this disorder. Like they have disorders.
Okay.
Disorder of grandiosity. Like they want themselves to be shown. They want themselves to be praised. This is a kind of disorder.
Yeah.
Narcissism, what we say. Yeah. And there's another disorder called histrionic. Anyways, we don't want to go inside it. Where they want praise
attention,
to happen.
Praise,
so what they're
going
to
do,
they're going to apply a lot of lipstick, example. They're going to make their body shape in a perfect manner. Why?
Right.
Because they want a lot of praise.
Right. Yeah, let's take a short break here. And it's needed to ponder on these things. And we'll get back to you.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat is helping us with dissatisfaction. Well, we said that teens, when they compare themselves with the social media celebrities or anyone who looks like kind of so-called perfect apparently, and they have this discontent and dissatisfaction with their physical appearance. So how to help out these teens, especially like, because like we have girls, and when in Islam we are taught modesty and to be not to be showing off and not to be a center of attraction. In that phase, we are facing a world when this has become a competition and this has become something that represents you, basically.
Yep. So these celebrities, even they go through a lot of surgeries in order to make their body like shape perfect.
Yeah.
Or example, in order to get proper
appearance.
Appearance with regards to face, with regards to teeth even. And they spend like thousands to like even hundreds of thousands of dollars on this.
Yeah.
Because there was a kind of investigation, research, I would say, which was done on those celebrities who kind of implant their teeth.
Yeah.
And it really costs a lot, really a lot, in order to implant one teeth. So it's not like they don't have perfect teeth from day one,
right?
But they make it in that manner so that because they are going to be a public figure, or they are a public figure,
right?
So they want to show it in the best manner. So this teen, unfortunately, he or she looks at that particular celebrity or social influencer. And the person is like, oh my God, I don't have these kind of teeth. I don't have this kind of eye color. I don't have this kind of skin tone. Or I don't have these kind of, example, hair color, example. You see?
So it's like when you feel like these are the things, they define you.
Mm-hmm.
So who has to come and teach them this is not something that defines you?
Exactly. So the solution is basically to get rid of these kind of people, number one. Get a break from
social media. Take a break from social media.
And focus on self-acceptance. You know, in the world, there are billions of people whose body image, hair color, whatever, is like other people.
Yeah.
Like example, my skin color is no more different than any other person.
Right.
Even the person, I didn't go through any kind of surgery. Example, even other people, they didn't go through any kind of surgery in order to get a kind of special hair color or eye color or skin color or whatever color, yeah? So I'm like, I am me. So accept it. Like, I am me and I have to focus on accepting myself. Rather than saying, oh, I want to be like him or her, you see? This is the first step. So there are 2 points. Number one is getting
take
rid
a break.
Of social media.
Take a break from social media.
Yeah, taking a break from social media. Don't
stop
not following those kind of people.
Stop feeding your soul with that content.
Mm-hmm. Number
that
two is focus on accepting, like on self-acceptance.
Yourself.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And of course, like surrounding people who accept themselves is very important.
All right. So now you
having friends. Who have this kind of quality, self-acceptance.
Right. Right. We'll discuss more with you. Mm-hmm. Let's take a short break here, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Welcome back. This is Islamic Upbringing. Well, we have been talking about dissatisfaction and discontent. That's a lot there in teens because they constantly keep on comparing themselves with these so-called perfect figures who appear to be so perfect or so, I would say, artificial.
Yes.
To me, and they want to look like them, so they are discontent with the physical appearance they have. So how do these girls or these boys come out of this? Brother Liaquat, you said that one is to get rid of social media for some time, take a break, stop feeding your soul with that content that brings you dissatisfaction. Number two, you said acknowledge yourself, accept, have this concept of self-acceptance and acknowledge the way you're made and say to yourself that this is not what defines me and there's something beyond this that defines
exactly.
me. So, and you were discussing the third point.
Yeah, so the third point is to
surround
oneself with positive influences and those people who accept themselves. And the fourth point is learning about self-worth beyond appearance. This is very important.
Yeah.
So my appearance is not what
defines
me.
Yeah.
My worth is not my appearance, unlike other maybe celebrities.
Yeah.
Like whose worth is in their face. That's it.
Actually,
they don't have anything.
You said like as per psychology, they are kind of suffering from this.
They have disorders, unfortunately.
Right.
This is through a research, okay?
Right.
I'm not targeting a particular celebrity or something, but this is there, okay?
Yeah.
Like because they want themselves to be praised, so they go ahead with making themselves more beautiful.
And there was also this article recently I went through. I was saying that I don't remember the name of celebrities, though. But I was saying, like, for example, this particular lady in Hollywood is considered to be like one of the beautiful women around the world, but she herself is unsatisfied with her particular nose.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else like, similarly, there's another actor who is known for this particular thing, but he himself is unsatisfied with this particular thing about him. So yeah, like sometimes people praise your work, things that you yourself do not acknowledge, but people see that as something good in you. Number one is you yourself acknowledge things.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, also engaging with more friends and like kind of not
who support
going,
you.
Yeah, exactly. Who are like who know who you are and who accept how you are.
All right.
It's
so
not like
there should be friends who are content, first of all, with themselves, satisfied with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you surround yourself with them,
yes,
they're going to give you those positive vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like, okay, so a particular skin tone, example, if a person is having a particular skin tone, it doesn't make any difference with another particular skin tone. Why? Because it's a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon
embrace,
the creation of Allah,
embrace the variety.
Exactly, yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created such a person in that manner. Example, a person is created with white skin tone, a person is created with a black skin tone.
Yeah.
And everyone is beautiful in their own manner.
Yeah.
So this is there. So, and what is important here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the appearance.
It's the piety.
It's the piety.
Piety and taqwa. Indeed. And yeah, thank you, brother. That was
thank
all
you.
The time we have for today's episode. Thank you, dear listeners. Teach your children piety. Because piety is something that's going to count, not the physical appearance. Because rosy lips, rosy cheeks, they're going to fade away one day because they are all time's fool. Thank you for listening. Until another episode, take good care of yourself. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
عید الفطر In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. After 1 month of fasting and moving in the path of servitude, happy عید الفطر. عید الفطر is one of the most glorious feasts among Muslims. It is celebrated in the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. Eid al-Fitr is an opportunity for happiness, thanksgiving, bolstering social relations and family bonds, as the spirit has gained a special purity. Stay tuned for the second part of our two-part program on the occasion of this auspicious day. Although fasting has been obligatory in all divine religions and their followers must fast specific days in the year, no feast has been ordained for the end of the fasting period. Islam was the only religion in which the month of fasting ends with a feast. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says on this, "The Eid al-Fitr prayer is a gift from me to my Ummah, and Allah the Exalted has not given this gift to anyone before me." The Eid al-Fitr prayer is one of the most important and glorious worships in Islam. This prayer is held on the first day of the Islamic month of Shawwal, that is, after the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. This prayer is a symbol of unity, solidarity, and coherence of Muslims, and provides an opportunity for renewal of allegiance with God. The Eid al-Fitr prayer has been highly recommended in Islam, and it is held congregationally. In fact, it shows gratitude of the faithful to God for being able to fast for a month. The Prophet of Islam used to put on his best clothes and wear perfume to attend this prayer. After holding the prayer, as the imam of the prayer, he would deliver two sermons. The Eid al-Fitr prayer has a special conditions which should be taken into account. The time of this prayer is from sunrise till noon, yet it is better to be held some half an hour after sunrise. It is recommended to be held congregationally in an open place, although it can be held in mosques. This prayer is a two-rak'at prayer. In the first rak'at, after Takbiratul Ihram and reciting Surah Hamd, Surah A'la is recited. Then Takbir is recited five times, and after each Takbir, a Qunut is recited. Qunut means raising your hands in front of your face and reciting special supplication like reading a book. After the fifth qunut, ruku is performed. Then prostration is done two times, and the individual stands up and performs the second rak'at. But in this rak'at, after Surah Hamd, Surah Shams is recited, and it has four qunuts, with one takbir before each of them. The Qunut of Eid al-Fitr prayer contains lofty concepts, which the faithful appeal to God after calling Him with lofty names. They appeal to God with the words, "We ask you with the right of this day, which you have ordained as aid for Muslims and a reserve, nobility, magnanimity, and plenitude for Muhammad, blessings of Allah upon him and his progeny, to bless Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad, and admit us in every good. You have admitted Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad, and take us out from every evil. You have taken out Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad. May your blessings be upon him and them. O Allah, indeed, I ask you the best of what your righteous servants ask, and take refuge with you from what your pure servants take refuge." Imam Reza, peace be upon him, says on Eid al-Fitr, "Indeed, Eid al-Fitr has been ordained as a feast so that people converge in it and get out for God's sake and praise Him for the blessings that He has given them. It is the day of feast, the day of gathering and return to the innate nature and giving zakat, the day of inclination to God and beseeching to Him." The congregational prayer of Eid al-Fitr is a symbol of power of Islam and the Islamic Ummah. It glorifies Islam before the eyes of the enemies, especially the arch enemies of Islam, the United States and the fabricated Zionist regime. Imam Khomeini correctly named the United States as the Great Satan, and Ayatollah Khamenei called the Zionist regime as the rabid dog of the United States in the region. Basically, a symbol of unity among Muslims sends shivers down the spine of the child killer regime in Tel Aviv and its godfather, the United States. Ayatollah Khamenei says on the significance of Eid al-Fitr, "As it is understood from the set of works and statements of the great religious figures, one of the most important features of Eid al-Fitr is that it is the aid of the united Ummah. It is the aid of all Muslims. This means the view of the holy religion of Islam and the teachings of the great prophet, which are Ummah building. In this aid, people have been invited to two bases, monotheism and unity. Monotheism is, in this very profound and significant zikr, in the eight prayer, which is followed by both zakat and prayer. It is also a complementary of that zakat. This is the symbol of monotheism on this day. Unity too, in fact, stems from this very monotheism. It is the empathy of Muslims. The bodies are in prayer and eight gatherings beside each other, and the hearts have paid attention to a center, the center of the divine greatness, the center of power and mercy of the truth, Allah. This day is such a day." Martyr Ismail Haniyeh said on Eid al-Fitr, "On the day of Eid al-Fitr, I announce you from the Palestinian territories that our only message to you is to keep unity. Thus, keep distant from clashes and do not make hasty decisions. None of you should use a weapon against each other. We tell the Americans that we will never abandon the rights of Palestine and our national principles despite imposition of global pressures. We die, but we will never bow down to them. We will not abandon our religion and national principles. We will liberate Al-Quds and resist till getting rid of the occupiers. Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, says in a beautiful supplication on the occasion of the end of Ramadan and coming of Eid al-Fitr, "Our Lord, bless Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad and compensate for our catastrophe in this month, termination of Ramadan, and make the day of Fitr auspicious for us. Make it the best of the days which have passed. On this day, forgive us more and wash our sins. O God, forgive whatever we have done secretly or publicly. O God, on the day of Eid al-Fitr, which you have made it as the day of feast and joy and the day of gathering and convergence for Muslims, we return and repent to you from any sin we have committed, any evil we have done, and any improper intention in our mind, a penitence which we will not have any return to sin, and a return which will not be accompanied with going to transgression. O Allah, make this Eid blessed for all the faithful, and grant us to return to you and repent from sins on this day."
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. Please stay tuned. We must know that the only immaculate beings who are free from any type of sin or mistake are only Allah and His last Imam on earth, Imam al-Mahdi Ajalallah, at the moment. The rest of the people are prone to make mistakes or even commit sins. Thus, justly speaking, we are all exposed to satanic temptations and we might do grave mistakes or sins. In better words, nobody is free from satanic traps. As we read in Ayahs 39 and 40 of Surah Al-Hijr, I will surely glamorize evil for them on earth, and I will surely pervert them all, except your dedicated servants among them.
پس هر کسی که معصوم نیست در تیرس شیطان هست.
Thus, whoever who is not immaculate might be under the glamour of Satan. Another important point is that we are certain about our own sins, but we are not sure about others committing sins. Therefore, we must always consider ourselves lower than others. This sense will lead to a kind of humbleness in front of others. Also, we will never be proud of our deeds, and we always will consider others better than us. This is a good ethical point for those who want to improve in terms of ethics and morality. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Danishman. To find more about this program and our other programs, please visit our new website at iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world on the Lantern.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dear brother and sister, dear listener of IRIB English Radio, especially this program Lantern, so welcome to this episode. When Satan approached Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, and said to him, "You are the Prophet of Allah, while I am one of his sinning and disobedient creations. It is my desire that I repent before him, so request him to accept my repentance." The Prophet Musa agreed and prayed for him. Whereupon Allah said, "O Moses, I shall accept your intercession for him. Tell him to prostrate upon Adam's grave in order that I accept his repentance." Prophet Moses met Satan and said, "Prostrating upon Adam's grave shall cause your repentance to be accepted." Hearing this, Satan said, "I did not prostrate before Adam when he was alive. How can I prostrate upon his grave now that he is dead? I shall never do such a thing." Then continuing, he said, "O Moses, since you interceded for me before Allah, you have obliged me. I shall advise you to be wary of me in three places in order that you do not face damnation and ruin. First, during anger. For in that state my soul is in your heart and my eyes into yours. Second, during a battle, jihad. For in that state I cause the soldiers to bring their wives, children, and relatives to mind in order that they turn back from the battle and flee away. Third, never sit with a non-mahram woman in one place, for I shall whisper temptations into both of you. Now we'll listen to our sister Musavi about the important point of the story.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, we listen to certain religious stories, and what we do in this program is to listen to them and then try to shed light and explain some points that we can take out of these stories and make use of them in our daily lives as Muslims. Well, our subject for today is about Satan and his big desire to deceive man. You know, in Islam, the concept of Satan or Iblis and his enmity towards humanity and his vow to mislead them is deeply rooted in Quranic narratives and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam. You know, the primary mission of Iblis or Satan is to lead humans away from the path of righteousness, truth, and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is seen as a persistent enemy of humanity, striving to lead people away from the path of righteousness and towards sin and disobedience of God. The notion that Satan has sworn an oath to deceive human beings is deeply rooted in Islamic theology, primarily derived from the Quran and Hadith literature. We intend to present an exploration of the situations when Satan swore to deceive human beings, supported by precise verses from the Quran and relevant narrations. So, be with us in this episode. Shaitan takes advantage of these vulnerabilities to lead individuals off the righteous path. However, we should not miss this point that while Shaitan plays a significant role in misleading people, humans possess free will. This concept is critical in understanding the dynamics between divine guidance and satanic deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted person the ability to choose between right and wrong, making them accountable for their actions. As mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 29, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر. And say, the truth is from your Lord, so whenever wills, let him believe, and whoever wills, let him disbelieve. You see, this verse emphasizes that despite Satan's efforts to deceive humanity, ultimately it is up to each individual to accept or reject guidance. Okay, now let's go for a short break and we will be back in no time.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back to your audience. You know, the teachings on Satan include many narrations attributed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam. One notable narration comes from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, where he states, "Beware, the devil stands at your doorways waiting for you with his traps." This reflects the continuous vigilance required by believers against temptations. Imam Ali alayhi salam elaborates further on these theme by advising individuals about self-awareness. He says, "He who knows himself knows his Lord. Understanding one's inner strength helps protect against deceptive tactics employed by Shaitan al-Rajim, since awareness enables better resistance against temptation." One last point is piety, which is paramount in counteracting satanic influences. Regular prayer, that is salah, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following Islamic laws, engaging with noble community. These all serve as spiritual shields against deceitful whispers of Satan. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 152 states, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, so remember me, I will remember you. Engagement with devotional acts strengthens one's faith foundation against demonic forces attempting sabotage. This shows the great significance of dua and prayers in determining the piety of an individual and consequently his or her distance from the cursed Satan. Okay, well, dear listeners, that was the time we have for this episode. I really hope that you have enjoyed listening to it. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد خلقناكم ثم صورناكم ثم قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس لم يكن من الساجدين.
And we have certainly created you, O mankind, and given you human form. Then we said to the angels, prostrate to Adam. So they prostrated, except for Iblis. He was not of those who prostrated.
قال ما منعك ألا تسجد إذ أمرتك قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين.
Allah said, "What prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you?" Satan said, "I am better than him. Created me from fire and created him from clay."
قال فاهبط منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها فاخرج إنك من الصاغرين.
Allah said, "Descend from paradise, for it is not for you to be arrogant therein. So get out. Indeed, you are of the debased."
Dear brother and sister, thank you very much for your company. This is the end of this episode of Lantern. Until a new story, fi aman Allah.
Ana bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub.
Spring of Souls. In the name of God, Salam and welcome to the program. After 1 month of fasting, worship and supplication, we are tasting the sweetness of Eid al-Fitr, Feast of Fitr, and the last days of Nowruz Feast. Now we are going to dwell upon Eid al-Fitr ceremonies and customs in different countries. Stay tuned, please. Eid al-Fitr, which indicates the end of the blessed month of Ramadan, is accompanied with various customs in different regions of the Islamic world. As you know, the first day of the Islamic month of Shawwal is called Eid al-Fitr, or Fitr Feast in Islam. It is a feast to indicate that God is rewarding his servants for obeying his command to fast in the month of Ramadan. The word Fitr means breaking in Arabic, and it means to break your fast. Muslims all over the world celebrate this auspicious day with different customs. In Iran, people wear clean clothes and hand out sweets and pastries to show their happiness. People in Mashhad go to the holy shrine of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, to celebrate the event there. Some people prepare ash, special kind of broth, and serve it among others after performing the Eid prayer. This is very customary among Iranians as a votive. People in the southwest of the country, like Khuzestan province, hold Eid al-Fitr with interesting customs. Young people pay a visit to their parents and the elderly, and they celebrate the Eid with Yazle. Yazle is a special custom in which young and old men gather together and beat their feet on the ground while reading poems. Now let us get familiar with the customs of Eid al-Fitr in some other Islamic countries. In Lebanon, Muslims visit their parents and relatives and congratulate them on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. They prepare sweets with walnut, pistachio, and date. In Turkey, Eid al-Fitr is known as Şeker Bayramı, sugar feast, due to consumption of a lot of sugar in sweets and pastries. The people in Turkey clean their houses and prepare sweets and pastries a few days before Eid al-Fitr. Muslims of Egypt celebrate this great feast with recitation of poems and holding athletic games like horse riding. Hala bihalal is a beautiful custom among Indonesians during Eid al-Fitr. This custom means peace and reconciliation, which is held in the mosques of Indonesia. People visit their family, elders, or colleagues to show them respect and forgive each other. In India, after performing the congregational Eid prayers, the eldest among the family stays at home and waits for relatives and friends to visit them. The younger ones visit the elders with flower wreaths and stay with them till afternoon. The beautiful tradition of exchanging gifts is very customary in Pakistan on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr. People prepare special foods and edibles, and fathers give gifts to their children. Husbands also give gifts to their wives. Slaughtering livestock and distributing it among the people is common in the villages of Yemen during Eid al-Fitr. Moreover, different foods and sweets are also prepared on this occasion. In New Zealand, Muslims gather together and hold various banquets. They give presents and eat traditional foods with each other. These were just part of the traditions and customs of Muslims in a number of countries on the occasion of the great Islamic feast, Eid al-Fitr. May God accept the worships of every faithful and help them overcome their enemies, especially the Zionist regime and the U.S.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam treated all human beings to be equal in the matter of rights and responsibilities, and he did not fix any limit in this behalf of equality among all human beings. And if he did fix any such limits, it was fixed keeping in mind the interests of the public in general, the people. And when we study the character of Imam Ali, we clearly see that he did not violate this freedom, the freedom of the people, the freedom of the public, the freedom in any of his laws, orders, rules, or regulations, and he always kept the public welfare in his view, in all his actions. He dealt equal treatment to both his friends and his foes. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we're speaking about this beautiful, divine, universal persona of His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib alayhi salam. His Eminence shows in his behavior something that is really interesting. We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when it came to some individuals, it seems like he didn't completely cut them off when it came to a sort of falling out in this relationship. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, there are certain individuals that, yes, he did end up opposing eventually, but it seems like he didn't cut off the relations completely. So perhaps we can say that Zubair ibn Awam is one of these individuals. Zubair, of course, was an individual who was very close to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. He was a staunch supporter and follower of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was a very good and close friend of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But there was a falling out, and eventually Zubair, he went and joined the enemy ranks in the Battle of the Camel, the Battle of Jamal. But at the end, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam invited Zubair to speak to him. And after Imam Ali alayhi salam spoke to him, Zubair turned back from his superficial enmity with Imam Ali alayhi salam. At least he did not continue in the war. Here we find that this is an individual who was a close friend. There was a falling out because of Zubair. And despite that falling out, Imam Ali alayhi salam didn't completely cut off his relations 100% with that individual, because he invited him to speak in the Battle of Jamal. And so it's interesting that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he speaks about this as well in other places, namely in his will to Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam, the second divinely appointed Imam and the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that, you know, that for some reason, if you intend to cut off yourself from a friend, that you should leave some scope for that friend on your own side, so that if something happens one day and that friendship is to happen again, that you are able to be friends again. You know, sometimes we have a falling out with our friends, and it's to a point where we start to hate one another, we start to slander one another, we start to say bad things about one another, we do things to one another which are bad things, right? And that friendship becomes as such that it can never be repaired again. And here Imam Ali alayhi salam, via his actions, via his words, via his persona, has taught us that, listen, you know, if there is a falling out, don't take it to such an extreme where if that individual wanted to be your friend one day or the other, that you could never be friends with them. Or if this individual was your friend and there was a falling out, and for some reason, you know, for example, you see them on the street, that you don't even want to look at them ever again. And so here, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he very beautifully tells us that, listen, if you have a friend and there is a falling out, keep some room in there if that friendship is to continue one day later on. A very profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi waqbal thanayi wajma' bayni wa bayna awliyayi.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master, and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
Now we invite you to listen to Brother Hassanain Rajab Ali.
Islam in its fullest motion in the Quran, that Imam Ali alayhi salam, how did he reduce the